Good evening, good evening, good evening. Come on in to Anointed Temple of Praise, Christian Church Disciples of Christ, our Monday Manna Bible study, and we are glad you are here.
Well, this is indeed the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, and we're certainly grateful for another opportunity to get into this word, for we know that every time that we get an opportunity and each time we get into this word, that something powerful happens. And the word of God says that even as we study this word, Lady Kim, and even as we allow this word to penetrate our hearts and our minds, our faith should grow. For the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so I just believe tonight that, as we always say, oftentimes, that somebody's faith is going to be increased tonight.
Amen.
Because they dared to come and be a part of this time together. Let us know the sound is good. Let us know that you're getting a good signal. And we praise God for those of you who are already on. And we are getting ready to get started here. This has been a powerful time already. Lady Kim is working with her sign-in information here and trying to make sure that we can see the comments and everything. I think she's made some errors there, but we don't know what she did.
I made some errors. The thing just don't work.
All right. Well, go ahead and come off and come back on, and then we'll go ahead and get started. How about that?
How about that?
All
okay.
Right.
Let's see.
There it is right there. What is that? Is that doing it? No. All right. We're not going to prolong the time. Do you have your phone with you? Probably we can pull it up on there and just close that out and then come back in. There it is. Is that it? Yeah. All right. Well, we praise God. We got it. Oh, just takes a little time to figure out. Sometimes this technology works for us, and then other times it'll work against us. But we have to keep trying until we get it right. Isn't that right, Lady Kim?
That's right.
All right. Some of us are more technically, how does it go? Technically challenged? Is that the word?
That's it. If that's what
others,
you want to use.
Yeah. Some of us are more technically challenged than others. But I don't confess to be the best in terms of this technology, but I try to stay in the know so that I can keep up at least halfway understanding what's happening out there. But this is March the 7th.
Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday. It's his birthday, y'all. It's his birthday. Happy. The dog even singing happy birthday.
I
y'all
know,
hear
right?
that?
They're going to try to get in here in a minute. They hear you singing. All right. Let's go ahead and get started. This is a good time. We're going to be in the 10th chapter. Thank you for the warm birthday greeting, Lady Kim, and the tremendous outpouring of love from the members of ATOP and those who were able to share and just giving a card or a greeting or some kind of, encouragement. We really appreciate that, and it helps a lot, I tell you, even as we continue to do a great work for God. But let's go ahead and get started. Let's have prayer. Father, we bless you and we honor you and we thank you now for this day. We thank you for our lives and for your Spirit's abiding presence. We thank you for giving us another opportunity to celebrate another birthday. And God, we give you praise for that. And so now, God, even as we get ready to get into this word tonight, we pray that this word will be a seed and fertile soil unto our souls. So we love you tonight. We honor you and we bless your name. Thank you for each person that's going to be a part of this time together tonight. And we pray now that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and praise God.
Amen.
10th chapter of Joshua. But before we go there, we want to do just a little recap from the sermon and the service on yesterday. Another powerful time in the Lord. I tell you, God showed himself strong. Lady Kim, of course, delivered a powerful word on yesterday. And did not our hearts burn as Lady Kim stood and proclaimed the word of God? And I tell you, she's just growing up, as I told the congregation yesterday, right before us. And my, I tell you how the Lord is using you, Lady Kim, to really be a blessing. And how you are just growing and how you're maturing and how you're breaking down that word in such a way with your educational background. You put a little that the school twist to it and trying to make sure that people understand it. And I think people really understood this whole message on yesterday, as you talked about the power of the seed, mm-hmm. and how important it is for us to understand. And you looked at a parable that Jesus used in Luke's gospel, verses 4 through 15, and you had several points there. The seed is the word of God. The soil determines what happens to the seed, and then how you nurture the seed determines your destiny. And so that's key right there. You know, as I was thinking about this sermon earlier today, many times Jesus would use parables to help people get a sense of what he was trying to, a spiritual message he was trying to get them to see. And he would use something that they were familiar with in order for them to get the message. And so what I was thinking about is that all too often we want to just kind of hammer people with the word of God and not give them something that they can relate to so they can see the spiritual message in the parable, the application that we might try to use today. And so we have to be mindful of that even as we try to lead people to Christ, as we try to reach those who are lost, those who are out there in the world. Many times it's about being relatable. Mm-hmm. It's about being present with them where they are. Yeah. And using that as an opportunity to help them get a sense of God's presence in the spiritual application that can be applied once we get their attention. Right. And many times we can drive people away when we just bombard them with a lot of scripture and we never really get to the essence of where they are and what they are going through, mm-hmm. in their current situation.
Right. That practical application is key.
That's right.
For them to be able to relate the word of God with their current situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so this is what this parable was all about. He talked about the seed, and he talked about how the word was indeed the seed. And I think that was your first point. Mm-hmm. The seed is the word of God. And how
in that particular parable.
In that particular parable.
Yeah, because there are a lot of seeds that can be sown. And I thought about that after I preached, mm-hmm. that I could have broken it down a little more, because there are a lot of seeds, just like when I started the sermon, I said, mm-hmm. I like to eat sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds. There are a lot of different kinds of seeds. People can sow negative seeds into your life.
Wow,
but that particular seed that was referenced in that scripture, Jesus plainly said that seed was the word of God.
Okay.
And so I could have made that distinction a little more stronger.
Mm-hmm.
But I think people basically got the gist of what I was saying.
I believe they did. I believe they did. And how the seed is indeed the word of God. And you brought out several key illustrations to help people kind of understand that whole process. And Jesus, even after he shared this parable, he went back and made sure that the disciples understood clearly, mm-hmm. what he was talking about.
Right.
And so he rehearsed that, and he went back and just dug in a little deeper to bring more clarity. And I think you did that on yesterday, because there are different kinds of seeds out there. And you talked about how some fell on stony ground, some
fell by the wayside.
By the wayside.
Some fell on the rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Some fell in the thorns.
In the thorns.
And others fell on good ground.
Good ground. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the soil then determines what happens to the seed.
Right.
Okay. I'm not going to, you're trying to give me the recap, but I think you still got a little part two left in you if you want to go ahead.
No, that's good.
But the soil does. And so You know, many times we have to be mindful of that seed because, as you indicated on yesterday, the devil wants to snatch that seed away from you before it germinates and take root. And all too often, even before, after we leave the worship experience, we find ourselves being bombarded with all kind of issues, all kind of things that kind of takes us away from what we need to do in order to make sure that seed takes root in our spirits.
Amen.
And so you talked about also how important it was to you when you talked about how that on one of those verses, I think it says that the seed needed to be which one was it about the moisture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that was really a good point. I'm trying to find which verse it was where it says that
well, that was the one with on the rocks.
Uh-huh.
You know, because out of all the things it said that it lacked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I went through how a seed needs light.
Right.
It needs dirt, you know, or soil. It needs sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
Dirt or soil, it needs moisture,
right?
Or water.
Okay.
Right. And so, you know, that moisture can be related to God's power, his presence.
That's right. And so we have to make sure that we, and you talked about how that worship really is what ignites that whole the moisture that needs to happen as mm-hmm. it relates to the word of God mm-hmm. being rooted and grounded in us.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so we need to make sure that we don't let anything get in the way or hinder or prevent. We got to guard that seed. We got to stand, make sure that we pray and ask God to give us the strength that we need so that seed might take root in our spirits. And as Dr. Qualis indicated, our praise and our worship is mm-hmm.
is that moisture.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so the more you praise him,
yeah,
and the more
hallelujah.
You worship him, then you are nurturing it. You're nurturing that seed, and you're giving it moisture.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
That's right. But I also said don't get too excited because, mm-hmm. you know, in the latter part of that verse it said, but, you know, it didn't take root.
That's right.
You know. It dried up and withered away. Because
right.
after a while, you know, the sun is going to zap that little moisture away.
Right.
And so, you know, that's synonymous with people who come to church and they, you know, they hear a good word, they get that good seed in them, they shout,
right.
praise God, and then they turn around and go back and live the same way they did before they heard that word. You
that's
know,
right.
there is no change. And so those roots don't begin to grow and take root.
Okay. And then I think in one of the illustrations, I think verse 14, and as for what fell among the thorns,
mm-hmm.
they are those who hear, but as they go their way, they are choked by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life,
mm-hmm.
and their fruit does not mature.
That's right.
And many times we have to be mindful of that because the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy,
mm-hmm.
and he wants to choke that word out of us,
mm-hmm.
that seed out of us, so that we won't get to the place of maturity, or we won't get to the place of bearing any fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And you really brought that home in a powerful way. And so we have to be mindful because those cares of the world
mm-hmm.
will cause us to take our eyes off of what God is trying to get done
Amen.
In our lives.
Amen.
And we start focusing in on that which matters least. As a matter of fact, we start focusing on that which is not as significant, and the enemy wants to keep us there,
mm-hmm.
and when we ought to be focusing in on what is significant for us in order for us to mature in the things of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that was a powerful word. Anything else you want to add to that, Lady Kim?
No, I think, you know, we said all we needed to say on yesterday.
Okay. So is there a part two? Do I feel a part two? Come
in. Not
somebody
that.
Type
Not
part two.
That.
Come on, somebody type a part
I
two.
I said all I was going to say on that.
Did you?
Yes.
Okay, and so
if
how
you had let me know, I could have stopped it
and,
yeah.
and broke it up and came right, back and right. did it again.
Absolutely.
Well, you can still do that.
Nah.
So the third point was that how you nurture the seed determines your destiny. So there's a work that still happens even after the seed goes into the ground.
Absolutely.
Isn't that right?
You have to nurture it.
Okay.
Nurture it through prayer. Nurture it through worship. Mm-hmm. Nurture it through studying the Word of God.
Okay. Okay.
You know, that's important. You just can't come and hear the Word and get that seed on Sunday that the pastor throws out or that I throw out or that other ministers throw out and not nurture that seed,
that's
not
right.
study that Word once you leave, not pray and meditate over that Word and ask God to really let it take root in your heart and mm-hmm. in your life.
James talks about that. He says, be yeah. not just hearers of
not
the Word.
Not hearers, but doers.
Doers
as well.
Of your Word.
Doers as well.
And so as we grow, as we go, we should grow. As mm-hmm. we grow, we go, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So we're in Joshua, the 10th chapter tonight. Mm-hmm. There are about 43 verses in this 10th chapter. We know that you've already had an opportunity to read it. But we're going to just break this into two sections, and we'll cover the first 21 verses tonight, and then we'll pick up on verse number 22 through 43 on next week.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And so part of what we see happening here is that Joshua is defending those whom he had came into covenant relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
The Gibeonites had already tried to trick and tried to deceive Joshua early in that 9th chapter. And now he finds himself defending the enemy, but he made a covenant agreement with them last week. And so he's still living by the agreement, the covenant agreement that he had made with them. But one of the things that I found out, Lady Kim, when we talk about defending the enemy, when we make agreements with the enemy, expect to end up paying a price and having to defend them in order to protect yourself.
Isn't that something? Yes, Lord.
And this is actually what's happening here in this chapter. He has to make sure that as a result of making this agreement with the enemy, that the price that he has to pay, having to defend them, he ends up having to protect himself as mm-hmm. well and the children of Israel during this time. And so this is a very powerful passage of scripture in this 10th chapter, and a very important and significant miracle takes place here, and it'll bring about some familiarity when people begin to get in here and read it. Have you already had an opportunity to read over this chapter?
I have.
Okay, all right. So anything else you want to add as we prepare to get started?
No, I think when we just dive in here, we'll start understanding it.
And what
comprehend what's going on?
All right, all
it's
right.
A lot of victories going on.
Okay,
mistakes are made, but victories come.
Okay, okay, that's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. All right. Well, let's go ahead and read. Maybe since we're only going to cover 21 verses of this 10th chapter in this section tonight. Maybe read the first 10 verses and then let's stop and then kind of dissect that and see what jumps off of the page as a result to those first 10 verses in Joshua, the 10th chapter.
Okay. Now Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, heard that Joshua had taken Ai and totally destroyed it, doing to Ai and its king as he had done to Jericho and its king, and that the people of Gibeon had made a treaty of peace with Israel and had become their allies.
Mm-hmm.
He and his people were very much alarmed at this because Gibeon was an important city, like one of the royal cities. It was larger than Ai, and all its men were good fighters. So Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, appealed to Hoham, king of Hebron, Peron, king of Jarmuth, Japha, king of Lachish, and Debir and Debri, king of Eglon. Come up and help me attack Gibeon, he said, because it has made peace with Joshua and the Israelites. Then the five kings of the Amorites, the kings of Jerusalem, Hebron, Jarmuth, Lachish, and Eglon, joined forces. They moved up with all their troops and took up positions against Gibeon and attacked it. The Gibeonites then sent word to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal. Do not abandon your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us. Help us because all the Amorite kings from the hill country have joined forces against us. So Joshua marched up from Gilgal with his entire army, including all the best fighting men. The Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you." After an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. The Lord threw them into confusion before Israel, so Joshua and the Israelites defeated them completely at Gibeon. Israel pursued them along the road going up to Beth Horon and cut them down all the way to Azekah and Makkedah.
All right. That was verse 10?
That was verse 10.
Okay. Several things really kind of leap off of the page here. We see that those who were the Gibeonites, they are now being attacked. And they send messengers ahead to, they had to go all the way back to Gilgal because Joshua and the children of Israel, that's where they were camping out.
Right.
Even though they had come into this covenant agreement with the Gibeons, Gibeonites rather. Is that right?
Gibeonites.
Yeah. And so we see that the king, sorry about that. This phone has been ringing off the hook all day. And so the king then calls for the armies together, and he put his foot down, and he really brought his power to go and defend these Gibeons who had already come into covenant agreement and relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a result of that, he makes a call for all of the armies to join together. And it took them a while to get to where the battle was taking place, but he caught them off guard and caught them by surprise and overpowered them. And Joshua called on the Lord. The Gibeonites called to Joshua. Joshua called on the Lord. And then Joshua begins to rehearse the promise that God had already placed in him as it relates to them conquering the whole land. And so this was part of the territory and part of what they had to face in order to fulfill the promise that God had already established in them.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times I think, Lady Kim, we cannot become at ease in Zion, nor can we rest on our laurels or past victories, but we have to continue to have a refreshing and a renewing of our spirit so that we can be alert and ready when something comes out of the ordinary, something comes unexpectedly that we might have to defend or we might have to go back into battle again for.
Mm-hmm. And that's key too, because you know Joshua had made that pact with the Gibeonites.
That's right.
You know, and as a result, you know, him saying that he would keep peace with them. Now they're calling on him to help fight
right
against these nations that had come against the Gibeonites they were trying to take over. And you know, as I thought about that, I thought about Russia.
That's it.
And
that's
what
it.
Russia is doing to Ukraine. Russia has gone in and they're taking over Ukraine. And Ukraine is crying out to the other nations saying, come and help us.
Come and help. That's
and
right.
And so, you know, nothing... There's what the old people used to say, there's nothing new under the sun.
That's
the
right.
Same thing is coming back around again. And so it has to be dealt with. But here we see that Joshua defeats all of these people that come against the Gibeonites.
Five kings
join forces.
Yeah, they had heard about all that had happened at
AI and
and Jericho, and the only option they had was to join forces in order to defeat because Gibeon was in a strategic place, and it was a very powerful city in terms of the locale that it was in. And so they figured that if they could overcome them at that point, then they would have put themselves in a position where they could really defend the enemies that would try to come in after they had taken out this. The Gibeons were a larger, the Gibeonites rather, were larger than the people at Ai. Mm-hmm. And so they were strategically placed in an area that really was beneficial to whoever gained control over that particular territory. And so these five kings, they consulted together and pulled all of their resources together in order to gain victory, not thinking that Joshua and the children of Israel were going to come to their defense. Right.
Come and help them. That's right. And you know, after they marched all night long, these are the Israelites, they marched all night long to Gilgal, you would think they would be tired and worn out, but they kept right on marching, and then they surprised them.
That's right.
You know, and they defeated these armies at Gibeon. And Israel pursued them. They ran after them along the road going up to Beth Horon, and they cut them down all the way. You know, they just wreaked havoc on them.
That's right. That's right.
So I think that's where we stopped at it.
Right.
Verse
number 10. Mm-hmm. And we're in the 10th chapter of Joshua, and we're just rehearsing what has happened in the first 10 verses. We know that the Gibeonites, they are at war against the other five kings of in that particular territory, and they're calling upon Joshua and the children of Israel to come in and defend and help them win this battle so that they might not be defeated. Because all of these kings, as Lady Kim just indicated, have now strategized to come and try to take out the Gibeonites in this particular situation that we find in the first part of this 10th chapter of Joshua. But Joshua calls upon his armies. Joshua rallies to help and support the people at the Gibeonites. And as a result, he didn't just come empty-handed, but he brought the full forces with him, and he also had a strategy, had a plan, and he had God's promise with him as he was coming.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay. All right. So we're going to pick it back up at the 11th. Is the door locked back there? Mm-hmm. So it looked like we got a lot going on. And that's, you know, that's part of the way the enemy will try to cause things to distract us. Even as you're moving forward in a positive way, many times the enemy will come in and try to confuse what God is trying to get done. And so we have to continue to be reaffirmed in our faith, and we have to continue to stay alert and aware, because the enemy may move back, but they still want to try and take what God has already blessed you with. That chapter in John 10:10, the verse I quote oftentimes, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But the other part of that is that Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So we have to stay on guard. We have to stay on point. We have to make sure that we have fully vested ourselves and that we have put on the full armor of God.
Amen.
So Lady Kim is going to pick it up now at the 10th verse. We're in the 10th chapter of Joshua, and we'll read down through verse number 21. But even as she's preparing to read, if there are prayer requests or praise reports or things that you want us to touch and agree with you on tonight, you can go ahead and start putting those in the margin, because we want to make sure that we agree with you and believe God for what you're believing God to do in your situation.
Amen. We're starting with the 11th verse.
Okay, 11th verse.
10th verse.
Okay.
The last time. Okay, verse 11 of the 10th chapter of Joshua. As they fled before Israel on the road to Beth Horon, to Azekah, the Lord hurled large hailstones down on them, and more of them died from the hail than were killed by the sword of the Israelites.
Wow.
On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, "Son, stand still over Gibeon, and you, moon, over the valley of Ajalon." So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, till the nation avenged itself on its enemies. As it was written in the book of Jashar, the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There has never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. Then Joshua returned with all Israel to the camp at Gilgal. Now the five kings had fled and hidden in the cave at Makkedah. When Joshua was told that the five kings had been found hiding in the cave at Makkedah, he said, "Roll large rocks up to the mouth of the cave and post some men there to guard it. But don't stop. Pursue your enemies. Attack them from the rear. And don't let them reach their cities, for the Lord your God has given them into your hands." So Joshua and the Israelites defeated them completely, but a few survivors managed to reach their fortified cities.
Mm-hmm.
The whole army... We're stopping at 21?
Yes.
The whole army then returned safely to Joshua in the camp at Makkedah, and no one uttered a word against the Israelites.
Okay, okay. So we see the strategy coming into play here, but we also see the promise of God being revealed and how God has protected them, and Joshua is reiterating the promise that God had already declared in terms of them having victory. But an unusual thing happened in this whole scenario of these latter few verses is that even though they were wiping out the enemy, the kings, they took flight and they went and hid in a cave.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says the five kings, they left their warriors out there fighting. And Joshua and the children of Israel, they were coming in powerfully and mightily against them and were wiping them out. They were running. And so the kings went and hid because they didn't want to be defeated, you know, because they wanted to come back and protect the areas that they had already been over.
Mm-hmm.
But as a result of them hiding in the cave, the Bible says that Joshua and the children of Israel found out that they were hiding, and Joshua gave instructions for them to go ahead and roll a stone up against the cave and keep them in there and guard them until we finish wiping out all of the people who they have gathered to fight against the Gibeonites.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is an amazing situation, because the Bible says that Joshua caused the sun to stand still as well as the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And had really, in essence, given them additional opportunity, additional time to defeat the enemy. And so this miracle that happened with the moon standing still, the sun standing still, is nothing that has never happened before. And it records it in the Bible that this was probably the first time that God heard the cry of
a human,
and mm-hmm. then he responded in that kind of way.
Amen.
And so they said that hailstorms were coming down, and probably the hailstorms that God created killed more of the soldiers than They had killed themselves.
They must have been some huge hailstones.
That's right.
You know, sometimes you look at hail, the meteorologists can measure hail.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes it's pea size, sometimes it's dime size. But if it's some hail that's falling down, killing people, sometimes it can be baseball size.
That's right.
More hailstones killed those people than the Israelites did. That was interesting. And like you said, the other interesting thing was where the sun stood still and the moon stood still, you know, over Gibeon and over the valley. So that's pretty amazing.
It is. And so I think if we look at this in terms of how we can make application for our day and time, is that many times, even though we have made a pact with the enemy, and we have made some mistakes and we have fallen short, we ought not be embarrassed by our mistakes, but we need to continue to trust the timing of God. And the mistakes we make may embarrass us, especially those mistakes that are caused by our running ahead of the Lord and not seeking His will. But we need to remember that no mistake is final for the dedicated believer. God can use even our blunders, watch this, to accomplish His purpose.
Amen.
Isn't that powerful?
Yes.
And so we have to be clear in terms of trusting God, even in those times of defeat, even when we have made some mistakes, even when we have done things that were not pleasing in His sight. We have to continue to trust God. And God will not forsake, nor will He leave us. He said He'll be with us always, even until the end.
Yes.
And so I got excited about that, because Joshua and them made a complete blunder, but God did not give up on them, nor did He remove the blessings that He had in store for them and the promise that He had already declared in terms of the victory that they would get. That's amazing, isn't it?
It is. And you know, I'm still stuck on that sun thing, standing still. But I had a note in my Bible. It says that the people of Israel were fiercely battling their enemy. The time was ripe for victory. All they needed was a few more hours of daylight. So Joshua asked God for the impossible.
That's right.
That the sun would stand still. Miraculously, it did. God proved without a doubt that he is over nature. And it also says life is so demanding that we could all use more hours in our day. When you're under a time crunch, use Joshua's tactics. Pray. God may not make the time stand still for you, but He can help you prioritize and spread your hours wisely. He can overcome your fatigue, your discouragement, and your distractions.
Wow. Distractions as well.
Yes.
Isn't that something?
Yes. I need that right now. I get so distracted every time I start my schoolwork. Some distraction comes. But I need to pray this prayer. God, help the time stand still for me by prioritizing the things that I have to do, and by you know, getting rid of that fatigue and that discouragement.
Okay. Okay. So now, if it stands still for you, you know it stands still for everybody around.
Everybody who asks.
Yeah, but
that's
see,
right.
What happened with in the text was that it stood still for the entire army.
Yes.
So that they can win the battle.
Right.
And so I'm saying, if you're asking God for the sun to stand still for you to complete your task, then it's going to stand still for all of those who are part of what you are, you know, involved in.
All right.
And so we have to be ready for that miracle to happen.
Absolutely. Get ready for your miracle.
Get ready. Get ready. Get ready.
Get ready for
All
your
right.
miracle.
Do we have any prayer requests coming in, Lady Kim?
We have a couple.
Okay.
Yes, and I have them written down so we can continue to keep them lifted before the Lord.
Okay. Any comments that we see that we need to lift up?
Just happy birthdays.
Oh, okay.
And we're probably going to leave a little bit early from Bible study.
Well, I certainly appreciate that, and I thank God for each of the comments as relates to wishing me a happy birthday. And Lady Kim has promised to take me out tonight. So we didn't want to cancel Bible study. We wanted to make sure that we had an opportunity to pray around the needs that you might have, and also to get into this 10th chapter. We're going to pick it back up next week, the same 10th chapter, but we're going to start at verse 22. There are about 43 verses in this 10th chapter. But I think one of the things that we see that's very important that we can relate to here is that we have to make sure that even as we go forth, that when we make agreements with the enemy, as I said earlier, expect to end up paying a price and having to defend them in order to protect yourself. And so God honored the covenant that Joshua had established with the Gibeonites. And as a result of what they were going through, Joshua found himself and the children of Israel having to cover them and protect themselves.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay.
And one thing that we can take away from this is that even though we're not in a physical battle, mm-hmm. you know, even though that the Lord will show himself mighty and faithful to his people.
Okay.
You know, like I said, even though we're not in a military or physical battle, we're in a spiritual warfare, and we always fighting against an enemy every single day.
So when we didn't get to the part about what they did to the kings after they came back out of the cave. That's going to take place next week. Because the five kings that had conspired. That had conspired against the Gibeonites, they are now stuck in a cave. Mm-hmm. And Joshua has instructed the soldiers to make sure that they don't get out. They guard the cave and make sure mm-hmm. that they don't get out. And so Joshua wanted to remind his men that the Lord would give them victory throughout the land. Mm-hmm. And a demonstration of that takes place in the next few verses in terms of how that promise became true in the lives of the people. And so it is with us. When God gives a promise, we can count on God's promises, for his promises are sure and his satisfaction is guaranteed. And many times we have to go through a lot of things before the promise is actually fulfilled. And the enemy's main job now, hear me tonight, is to try to keep you distracted, try to throw you off track, try to steal your joy, destroy your peace, won't allow you to know that you are God's and God is yours. And so many times he will try to cause distractions and things to come in our way till we don't focus in on what God is trying to get us to see. And as you talked about yesterday, Lady Kim, is that we have to make sure we nurture what God has planted in us.
Amen.
So that we might reach our ultimate destiny and victory in Christ.
That's right.
Okay.
Amen.
So what are some of the requests that you have so far? Thank you, Brother Jefferson, and those of you who have wished me a happy birthday. I see
lots of birthday wishes.
Sister Marcia, thank you so much. And all of those who are watching, that's Brother Jonathan. Good to see you tonight. And
Shonda Frazier.
Sister Frazier. Praise God.
Mary Liggins.
Sister Mary, hope you made it back. Had a good trip and you're back.
Amen. Sister Regina Jackson.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Dr. Qualis.
Right.
Got lots of happy birthdays. Thank you.
All right. Well, do you have anything else, Lady Kim? We're going to close out here in a minute. We're going to lift up these requests and we're going to pick back up with the 10th chapter of Joshua on next week. We're going to start with verse 22 and read down through 43 for next week, so you can go ahead and have a jump start on that.
Sister Jessica ask for prayers for Arthur, Donna, D. Bolden family in the loss of a family member. And Brother Robert Jefferson asked for a prayer for Dorothy Foster and Orphorene Wilson and Mulester Johnson. And Brother Martez said he lost his great-grandmother on March 1st. And he wants prayer for his family. And someone else says, please pray for Sister Elaine Stevenson back in the hospital. Wow. Thank you so much for letting us know. So we can check on Sister Elaine.
Yes, by all means.
All right, I got it down. Sister Elaine Stevenson. And, of course, Brother Daryl Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to continue to pray for him as he gets well.
Okay, all right. Well, we're going to stop there for tonight, and we're going to pick it back up next week with the 22nd verse of Joshua, the 10th chapter, and read down through verse 43. So, Lady Kim, will you close us out with a word of prayer, lifting up those requests that you have on your paper?
Let us go to God in prayer. God, we thank you tonight. We bless you and we honor you, God, for you alone are worthy to be praised. God, we thank you for allowing us to go through this day, a day that we've never seen, but you have allowed us to experience. So we thank you tonight, God. God, we thank you for giving us all that we need throughout the day in order to sustain us, God. Now, God, we lift up the prayer requests and the concerns to you. We lift up the family of Brother Martez.
Yes, God.
In the loss of his great-grandmother, God. We ask that you would give that family the peace that surpasseth all understanding.
Thank you, God.
We ask that you would continue to go forth, O God, and allow them, O God, as a family to join together and bind together closer as one, O God, remembering that great-grandmother. We lift up those that Sister Jessica has asked for prayer for, Arthur, Donna, D. Bolden, and family in the loss of that loved one, God.
Thank you, God.
Comfort them and give them peace during this time, God. We lift up the family of Dorothy Foster and Orphorene Wilson and Mulester Johnson, God. Whatever they stand in need of, we ask, God, that you would deliver it right now in the name of Jesus. If they need peace, give them peace. If they need healing, give them healing. If they need deliverance, give them deliverance, God. Whatever they stand in need of, God, we're calling on you right now to do a work in their lives. God, we lift up our own member, Sister Elaine Stevenson, in that hospital, God. Touch her body right now, God, in the name of Jesus. Restore her breathing. Restore anything, oh God, that may not be right in that body. And we thank you today, God. We bless you and we honor you. God, we give you praise because we know that you can do anything but fail. So, God, here we are asking, oh God, that you work on our behalf. So we love you, God. We thank you for hearing our prayers. But most of all, God, we thank you, oh God, that you're going to work on our behalf. So we love you tonight. We bless you. We thank you for one more year of life for our pastor, oh God, for the man of God who looks after the people of God. And we ask that you would continue to bless him and keep him in good health, even as his soul prospereth.
Thank you,
we love you, God. We bless you and we honor you. We give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and praise God. All right. Well, thank you, Lady Kim, for that powerful prayer. And know that we are continuing to pray with you and for you as you move through this season of expectancy. And we want to just touch and agree and believe God with you for what you believe in God to do in your situation. And so it is so,
it
and
is
it
so.
Shall come to pass.
Amen.
Trust the timing of God. Don't grow weary in well-doing and know that he will stand true to his word.
Yes, he will.
And so we bless the name of our God even tonight.
Yes, Lord. We do.
All right. All right.
Amen. Thank you all for joining us tonight.
Okay.
All right. We got some birthday celebrating to do.
We'll see y'all next week.
See you next week.
Be blessed.
Bless you.